Hey, y'all. Welcome back to Erase the State. Maddie K here again without Mikey Two Names, but that is okay because we have a very special guest, Britt, everyone's favorite. Everything everybody knows and loves her. So, Britt, what's going on?
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for joining us. So, how are things going in the great state of California these days?
It's on fire. It's good. It's on fire. It's fine though. Everything's burning to the ground. It's okay. We're good. We're all gonna die. We're burning to the ground.
Just full 2020, right?
And also, there's wildfires. So
yeah, aside from all the other fires.
Yeah.
There's dumpster fires and there's wildfires.
Yeah. No. It's all bad. So
are you being affected by the wildfires at all?
Yes. So where I live is northern Los Angeles County.
Okay.
And it was like from the start of August, like almost every day we were having fires. Then it kind of stopped for a while, but now the fires that are burning, like in San Gabriel Valley and San Bernardino County, just the plumes of smoke are so bad, combined with the fires that were out here. It's just awful. It's hard to breathe. It's nice.
So now you really can't see downtown from Griffith Park.
No.
Worse than normal.
Yeah. So I mean, it just looks like if you, it's so weird to walk outside because the sky's not orange like San Francisco or anything. Sure. But you expect that it's gonna be that like foggy, like chill in the air when you walk outside, and it's just hot and dry, but it has that look from all the smoke in the air, and it's just eerie.
That sounds terrible. So are your fires down there from, you know, the protesters, or or is it from a baby reveal, or is it from climate change?
Well,
or is it your standard wildfire?
Yeah. Everything that's ever happened is from climate change in California. Sure. Yeah. So anything that we don't like is from climate change. I actually have a friend who works for the San Bernardino Fire Department, and I was talking to him about it a little bit. He said, of course, there's a one that was started by the gender reveal party, which just on a side note, I've had two kids. I didn't need to blow anything up or burn anything down to announce that they were, you know, going to be a boy or a girl. In fact, I had one of each. Didn't have to burn anything down for either one. So I'm just saying, maybe a cake, guys. I'm just saying.
A little confetti.
Do what you want. Yeah, that's fine too. You know, or you can blow things up. I don't care. I'm a libertarian. But yeah, maybe not everything. Maybe not blow everything up. But sure. He said that besides that, a lot of it is lightning strikes.
Okay.
But also, we have a lot of forestry mismanagement here, and it goes back and forth. I blame Gavin Newsom and Jerry Brown for this, even though, yeah, I mean, 53% of the state's forests are federally owned. But I would think as governor, knowing that our state is a tinderbox, you would work jointly with the federal government to make sure that your state doesn't burn up. So for people that say like, oh, it's the federal government's fault, it's the government's fault. But it's definitely not climate change's fault. Sure. I don't know how that's even... it's just beyond me that people are actually blaming that. And if they are, say it absolutely was climate change that caused all this, we know that it's a lot drier, that the air's a lot drier, that the underbrush, because we had a lot of rain last year and not as much this year. If we know that it's climate change, then we should do something to combat that. Just raising people's taxes is not going to change that. Just decrying climate change is not going to fix that. So you need a plan of action other than just crying climate change. It still doesn't even make any sense. It's like, okay, so you've known for a long time that this is going to happen and you still did nothing about it. It's ridiculous to me.
For literal decades, they've known it's going to happen.
Yeah, so what was the plan? Did you think that we wouldn't have fires if you tax people more for emissions? Like, I don't understand what the rationale behind that is.
Just keep throwing money at it. It's good.
Yeah, it's fine.
So what is life like since you mentioned it, right? You're a libertarian. I don't know if you consider yourself an anarchist or a libertarian.
I consider myself the lines. An anarchist.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. I consider myself an anarchist. And okay. I know that the anarchists do not like that. In fact, I have a lot of friends that are anarchists. And
you're a dirty statist, but it's fine.
I am. They all think I'm a dirty statist. It's so funny to me because I'm not I'm also not the type of libertarian that's like, well, yeah, you know, I won't go along with it. I'm like, no,
sure.
No. Cause all of you would fall into minarchy. We'd all fall into minarchy anyways. I just happen to be rational and a realist about it. So that's where I am at this moment.
I can respect that. So what is life like living in LA County being a minarchist?
I am perpetually frustrated all the time. I mean, it's beyond me how people can continue to support Nancy Pelosi. It's beyond me how people can look at something like the mayor, Eric Garcetti, unplugging power and water to a house because people had a party during COVID in their private residence and he took away their water and their power. Like, people were like, good, he should have. Like if it saves just one life, let's just put that boot of oppression down on everyone's neck. Jesus. Like, it's crazy to me. It blows my mind. And people out here, I lived in Studio City for like almost 15 years. And so people that don't really know about Los Angeles, Ventura Boulevard, that Tom Petty song, what you're seeing on most of your like TV shows, like that's Studio City. That's like LA, San Fernando Valley. And it is the most woke, like these people, it's hilarious to me. I've never seen so many white people that have never met a person of color that have so many ideas of how to help people of color without actually consulting people of color at all. It's amazing, really. It's like they all have a crystal ball.
It's surprising, but not surprising, if that makes any sense.
It's just peak Los Angeles. Like, they don't know what they're talking about, but they're going to pretend they do.
What about your friend group? I mean, do you have like this large minarchist friend group, or is it sort of mixed?
In real life, on Twitter, I have a lot of friends.
Yeah, we all do.
I have a lot of friends online. I have a small group. My sister and who is actually now up in Seattle, and my cousins, my brother, like my family, we're all kind of libertarian-esque.
Okay.
My brother's more of like a constitutionalist. My parents are both pretty independent, although my mom has gone really MAGA and it's a little weird. But it's mostly my family. A lot of my friends, unfortunately, are very left. In fact, you know, even my best friend is just, they're all very, very left. They've all chosen a side. And so sometimes it feels really lonely because the people in my life, a lot of them are either MAGA or they're, you know, now embracing this democratic socialism, which is, you know, it's like, okay, well, I don't know which cult I want to be in. So I'm just out here on my own, I guess.
Interesting. Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't necessarily come from a libertarian family. And when I went to Childerberg One, I'm sure you're familiar with Childerberg by now, right?
Yeah.
So after the first Childerberg, you know, my parents were over at the house and they'd come to visit from out of town. They're like, oh yeah, you were gone this weekend, right? I was like, yeah, yeah. I just got back from a camping trip. Like, oh, who are you camping with? Anybody I know? And I was like, no, just some internet friends. Like, oh, who was that? I'm like, ah, just my libertarian and anarchist friends. And she was like, oh, libertarians and anarchists. That's terrible. I was like, okay. So, it's, you know, they don't really know. So I always had this like out conversation, like, oh, are you still, you know, are you still in the closet? Or, you know, do people know about you and the way that you are?
Yeah. Well, if you look at my Facebook, nobody does.
Yeah.
I try not to mix like my real life with my online persona, I guess, because my husband is in the film industry, and a lot of our friends happen to be people that, not a lot, but we have friends that all of you guys would happen to know. So, I try and kind of, I keep that to myself. And a lot of them do know, people that we've known for years and years, they kind of know. And to be honest, a lot of them feel the same way I do, but they would never admit it. They would never, ever admit it. In fact, I've had conversations with, I can specifically think of two people I've had with conversations on my old balcony in Studio City, who I've seen later in the media espouse very different values. So
interesting.
I mean, people have a role to play, whether they're on a show or just in the news.
Well, all of life is a stage, right?
Yeah.
No, I mean, my family, we're all, I mean, or not we, but they, I was brought up in a very, you know, Christian conservative household, very, very red. And they're still that way. And so what's funny is my cousin's oldest daughter, she tried her hand at acting for a while and a little unsuccessfully. She's had a few small parts here and there, you know, on TV shows and stuff like that. But she actually met a producer who is now has moved from LA and like lives in middle of nowhere, Southeast Texas half the year. It's very interesting that he feels very comfortable in that sort of scenario. And I've never met him. We haven't had a conversation, so I don't really know where he is, you know, politically, but it's, I just find it interesting that a, you know, a Hollywood guy can kind of move out, like the like quintessential producer Hollywood guy, right? Can kind of move out there and be like, oh, we're fine out here. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you'd be, I think people would be shocked if they knew what, I actually don't think people would be that shocked if they knew, but it would be like, oh, a gotcha kind of moment if they were able to really sit a lot of these people down and get like, just put, you know, shoot them with true serum, like Kill Bill style. Mm-hmm. So that they would kind of be like, oh, okay, yeah, I knew that some of this had to be an act. And there are a lot of people that are very left, you know.
Sure, sure.
In Hollywood, but there's also a lot of people that just really want to work. I mean, if you want to keep your job at Domino's, you don't go around saying Pizza Hut's the greatest. So
right.
It's just at the end of the day, people do what they have to do.
So how prevalent is that, that there is this pushback from, you know, the, I guess the, who may be predominantly left power brokers to kind of keep people out if they espouse the quote unquote wrong views? Is that a common thing, or is it just sort of blown up in right media?
As far as I can tell, I mean, I obviously am not on in super inside circles. But just, I can only speak from my experience and talking to people. And a lot of them are a lot closer to my views than, say, Alyssa Milano's views. And I think that we're starting to see it a little bit. That's, too.
It's a bit of a low bar, though. It's a bit of a low bar.
Yeah, I mean, when you're just like a trash bag, then I guess, you know, like, whatever. So allegedly a trash bag. Then make sure that they allegedly show that every single day on Twitter, allegedly. But, yeah, I think people are a lot of people are a lot closer to what I would say than what somebody like that would say. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of people are also still going to vote, you know, Joe Biden, Trump. They're not going to, it's not like any of them are going to go for Joe Jorgensen and put that out there or anything like that. It's very much Like I tweeted today, like Nuance is dead. Just pick your team for the America Bowl and go hard. Like that's kind of where I think everyone's at right now.
Pretty accurate.
I know a lot of guys maybe like that do what my husband does, kind of below the line guys. So I don't know how familiar you are like with the movie industry. There's kind of like above the line where it's like the cast and production type that. And then there's below the line where it's more of the crew. And I think a lot of the crew is kind of more middle, but of course there's a whole spectrum of people. So I can't speak for everyone. And, you know, out here, people do tend to lean more left. I think I thought I was very conservative, and other people tell me that I am extremely left. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so, I mean, and I'm not familiar. The only people that I've ever hung out with who are, I guess you could say, like in the industry are just a handful of failed actors from high school or my cousin's daughter. And one guy I got really, really drunk with, whose dad owns a prop house, and they live out in Hermosa. And we had a really good time one night.
I wonder if I know who that is.
Maybe I'll ask you.
We can talk about it off air. Yeah, I bet I know who it is.
You may know, and he could have been lying to me. But maybe he seemed very credible. But we were hammered, so who knows?
I mean, there's a couple, but I almost guarantee. Like as soon as you said it, I was like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. And so whenever I go, honestly, no offense to you, but I can't stand LA, and it has nothing to do with like the acting. I just always feel gross when I go there. But I love the beach cities. Like I spend as much time in Hermosa Beach as I possibly can. Just skip right over Manhattan, stop in Hermosa. I'm good to go for several hours. So,
I actually don't go to LA beaches at all. So, and I agree with you. In fact, the last time I was in Studio City, I was like, what, excuse me, what's even going on here? It doesn't remind me of, it's nothing like the place that I left 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's just dirty. There's like homeless encampments under every, you know, and every freeway underpass. On a hot day, it just smells. It's not great. It's almost like, it's almost eerie, like supernaturally eerie that people live there and think it's so great. It's almost like they have this veil over their eyes to the reality of what is going on. And it's funny. It's actually like, I've seen other people talk about this. I don't know, like if you're aware of like, you know, Blair White.
I know the name. Yeah. I don't really know.
Conservative trans activist, and she lives in Los Angeles, and she was just talking about how she's like she would have to step over homeless people to get to a red carpet, and it's almost like you put blinders on and you see all the like glamorous like you see this glamorous lifestyle, and then you kind of have to ignore everything else, and just moving away from that and then coming back where you have to take it all in. It was weird because I thought, man, it's got so bad. But I remember when I used to visit my husband out in like Studio City before in LA, and we would go to places in LA before I lived out here years and years ago, which now you guys know how old I am. Like I've aged myself. And I would go in and I would think, gosh, it's so awful here. Why would anyone live here? And I don't think that it's gotten so much worse. I think that you just get used to it. So being outside of it, you really get an idea of like how easy it is to kind of get trapped into that mindset and that lifestyle of just looking at the good, because it is such a dichotomy of just two worlds living in one place. And you have to, whichever side that you're enmeshed in, you kind of have to ignore the other side. So with that being said, also everybody that lives in LA goes to Santa Monica or Malibu or Hermosa or Redondo. So I always go up to Ventura. It's quiet. It's nice. It's not, you know, dirty, hard to find parking. Sure. So I almost don't even want to tell, like even mention it, because I don't want anyone else going up there.
You're going to ruin it. So did you not grow up there? Are you sort of like a transplant to that area?
No, I grew up in San Gabriel Valley and Ventura County. So, I mean, we lived in San Gabriel Valley for a little bit when I was a kid, and then we moved to Ventura, I don't know, when I was still in elementary school. My parents owned a deli, and we lived on the beach, and then when my parents divorced, I moved back to San Gabriel Valley.
Okay, interesting. So I think I've been to Ventura. Ventura's up, like, that's near, like, the agricultural region, right? Like Port Hueneme.
Port Hueneme. Yeah.
Yeah. So okay.
That exactly.
Yeah. So I had to go to Port Hueneme once for work in a couple of jobs ago in a previous life. But spent some time on the, you know, the boardwalk there or the pier, I guess at Ventura. And it was nice, you know, had a good time, some decent fried food, which was very different than Southern fried food, but it was delicious.
Yeah, it's not the same. It's not, everywhere's different. It depends on where you go. It's really a lot more laid back. It's not super touristy. So if you just, you know, if you just want to live at the beach and you just love that it's a totally different experience than say living in Malibu or Santa Monica or even going down to Orange County where, I mean, Orange County is just a trip in itself because it's like the reddest of the red. Like you've never met people that are more unabashedly like, fuck this system of California. Sorry, I don't know if I can cuss on your show.
It's expected.
Like they're just like, they don't care
if you didn't. So
yeah, they're just like, we have money. We like Donald Trump. We're Republicans. We don't care. We don't give a fuck. And it's like, I don't agree with all of their sentiments, but I just love that attitude of just like, yeah, this is who we are. We don't care. We don't care what anyone else thinks. And if you don't like it, oh, well, we have the beach. We have, you know,
yeah.
It's like, what can you say to that?
It's kind of funny that like, I don't know. I mean, so I'm like an old punk rock guy, right? Which is kind of why I like Hermosa Beach, just the history there. And It's funny how like all those punk rock bands back in the 80s from Hermosa, like, you know, they would kind of, I think a lot of them voted for Reagan back then. Right. And like, it's all kind of come full circle to now where like, they're all like all these kids who grew up in that scene are now like rich kids in Orange County. It's like, fuck it. We're still doing whatever the fuck we want to do. Right. Yeah. So.
Great. And like, that is the one good thing. Well, it was the one good thing. I guess that's Redondo. It was the Brixton out there. Where like, have you ever been to the Brixton in Redondo?
I don't think so.
It's like every kind of like punk rock club that kind of comes through SoCal, like that's where you would see them. I guess that's what I think of outside of like, like I don't even know if it's open anymore. It's like right on the pier. And it's like, I mean, outside of like the Roxy or something like that, where it's like Sunset Strip where you would, obviously a lot of bands play or whatever, but the Brixton is kind of what I think of when I think of like hardcore punk rock, which is funny because I named my son Brixton because that's where like punk rock was kind of born,
right?
You know, like Dave, you know, and David Bowie and the, oh my gosh, and never mind, let's just move on.
It's okay. We can turn this into like a Peace Freaks episode and that's fine.
That's, you know, I actually used to write before I got into like Liberty Twitter and kind of political commentary. That's what I did. I wrote about music and bands and, I had a website or blog or whatever. And that's what I covered. I covered entertainment. So that's kind of my first love anyways. So I'm always down to talk about that.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I really enjoy music, but I'm like always the guy that's, you know, when you're like, oh, who's your favorite band? I'm like, man, I don't even know what songs they sing. I can sing them. I don't know what they're called. I don't know what their name is, you know, but I really do enjoy that. It's not even old school punk rock, but just like that old SoCal punk rock, like that all came out of Hermosa. Like all the kids that hung around the church, like Black Flag and Pennywise and Circle Jerks and all of that. Like that's, I love that shit. So
yeah, I don't know how old you are. I'm guessing we're around the same age because it's all 30s. That. Yeah, I'm 38, so.
Okay. Yeah.
And 37. That's like,
well, I'll be 37 tomorrow as we record this. Oh, so.
Happy early birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah. So like you're talking about all the stuff I grew up with in the 90s and like, and on all the, like, I guess post-punk, like punk pop bands mm-hmm. were really big when I was a kid, like Blink 182 and The Offspring and all of that. And all like those guys that worshiped all the actual like right. punk bands.
Right.
So, you know, it would be like, you know, Bad Religion, but also, you know, MXPX or something.
I still like MXPX. So, yeah. The old, the Tooth and Nail stuff when they were still, you know, good Christian boys.
Every, yeah. You know what? When I was a kid, I went to Tooth and Nail Festival like every year. Like you know, that's what you did if you were a good SoCal Christian kid.
There you go. And see, it was safe at home too. You didn't get in trouble for listening to that. I got in trouble for listening to NoFX, but I didn't get in trouble for listening to MXPX.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah. Oh gosh. That's like such a blast from the past. I don't even think I've thought of like Supertones and all those. Oh
God, I was listening to the Supertones the other day, actually.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we used to have this. You know, back when I was, and I'm a Christian. I've mentioned this before on the show. I don't know if you listen or not, but our listeners know. But back when I was like very churchy, like in middle school and high school and stuff, we had this, whatever it was called, like Hot Hearts or something like that. So one of these little yearly festivals for all the kids to come out and, you know, it's like a revival basically, plus some music. So they'd try and bring some cool acts, you know, to come play for the kids. And every year it was Supertones, which was fucking outstanding. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And so then there was like some. Right out of Orange County. What's that?
Which are right out of Orange County.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, when there was that whole shift, right, from like OC Supertones to Supertones, like when they like, had the name change. Yeah.
Yeah. When they sold out.
Yeah, exactly. When they went corporate.
Yeah.
And at one time there was this, it was for like Y2K. We went to some like Christian festival like for Y2K in Houston, which was like 2 hours away from me at the time. And I don't remember what it was for, like what, you know, who sponsored it or whatever, but there was a concert involved with it. So I think like Skillet played and like all the typical like, you know, Christian bands, right? And then there was this like late edition, and I think they had just like showed up, but the whole band was there, and it was like the ska band out of Hawaii. They were called Jaw Ska. It was fucking amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, we digress.
I wonder if my kids are going to be able to have that, because those are, I remember all of that as a kid and I really loved it. And I'm a Christian too. I'm a, I guess, what did you say? Churchy, but I'm a, like, I actually read my Bible and I get frustrated with people on the internet that like misquote Bible verses. And so like I'm always biting my tongue.
I am that guy too. So I don't read as much. I should probably use you as an inspiration, but I don't read as much. You'd probably be very frustrated with me, but that's why I don't quote Bible verses on the internet, because I know I'm going to get it wrong. And I see stuff and I'm like, that's completely out of context. We probably shouldn't be using that one here.
Yes. Yeah. I get, a lot of times where people, I guess I don't mind so much anymore until people pull me into a conversation. Like somebody pulled me into something the other day and I forget what they were even talking about. I think they were talking about like, Peter talking about having a sword, or Jesus telling Peter to grab a sword and, right. And using that as like a reference to why we should, you know, have guns. I was like, that's not what that verse means. And I used to be that guy.
Yeah, I used to be that guy. But then I read everything and I'm like, oh, and that was after my whole conversion away from like a dirty neocon to like an anarchist, right? And I'm like, oh, that's not means. It's a completely different verse. Like, it's a very beautiful thing, you know, but it's just completely different.
He's telling him, I mean, that would actually be like, nope, he told him two was enough, dude, don't keep going down this path. Right. And I'm like, and sometimes I'm like, you know, go ahead. Cause this person that just used the judge, not lest you be judged. Like they don't know, they know that one verse anyway. So go ahead, use your one verse. It's like a, I don't know. I'm trying to think of some gamer term, but I'm not a gamer. So like, you know, like Magic or whatever, where they like throw out your card and then the other one throws out theirs.
Right, right.
And, you know, it's like, that's all we've got.
Yeah. We and now you're spent.
Yeah. We've cherry picked all we can today. Yeah, no, I try and stay out of it, but just sometimes it gets so frustrating. And, you know, I guess that's just with everything. But I will say this, the reason why I am a libertarian and a minarchist is, and a move towards anarchy. I should make that clear for anyone that's listening. If I have to choose between the state and anarchy, I'm always going to choose anarchy. If I got to pick exactly where life was, it would be minarchy. But the reason I kind of fall in that category is because I'm a Christian. And I believe that you can't really be a Christian and believe in a tenet of having free will if you have to enforce people to do good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can always stop people from doing bad, you know, because you don't want to be hurt, or maybe you don't want people hurt around you. But it's like when you force people to pay for other people's, you know, when we force people to pay for what should be charity. Yeah. I think that's actually like the antithesis. It's anti-theical to being a Christian.
Right.
You know?
You can't legislate altruism.
No,
you can't legislate morality either, you know.
And that's all we do is legislate morality. That's the biggest irony of government and life, really, is that you can't legislate morality, but that's all we do is legislate morality.
Exactly.
But yeah, like I see people all the time lately, and this was actually when I was in college, I had professors that would say Jesus was a social justice warrior. Jesus would have been a socialist. And like, Jesus wouldn't. You guys could talk about giving, but the Bible is pretty clear on being a cheerful giver. And I don't know anyone that pays their taxes cheerfully. Like, that's not. And when Jesus says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, he also says, render unto God what is God. So like, you can't really use that verse. I would say if you don't donate regularly to Christian charities specifically, you can't really use that verse. Or Jewish, if you're not rendering unto God what is God's, you can't use that Caesar verse, because it doesn't really work, because you have to do both. One begets the other, and in that specific term. So don't use Christianese at me. If you can't even tell me a whole verse, like, let alone cherry pick from, you know, a whole out of context. But if you don't even know a whole verse, then it's probably not best to come at me with that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. So what is church life like for you? I mean, is it, are you like, I don't have to divulge too much, but is it sort of like a leftist type church, or is it a conservative church, or somewhere in the middle?
Well, I don't go to church regularly anymore. And the only excuse I have for that is that I'm a filthy heathen. Like, I have no excuse that says like, oh, I just haven't found the right one, or it's really, I went to Studio City, and when I was out there, I got in a mindset for a long time that I kind of didn't want. It was almost like Eve in the garden, you know, turning from God, like you just want to hide. And this is like one of my, gosh, we're getting so personal.
Sorry.
This is one of the things that for me is like really personal, because I have no excuse for it, except that I was trying to turn away from God because I wanted to live my story, not the one that I feel like was laid out for me, not the path that I felt like I kind of, you know, like going to church and kind of figuring out what God wanted. Like, I wanted what I wanted immediately. And I didn't want to deal with that guilt that came with that. And so now, And also my husband is not a Christian. My husband's Jewish.
Okay.
And I think that had a lot to do with it. Not that he cares so much, but that we moved in together before we were married. There was a lot of things I was doing in my life that I have no justification for. I can't justify at all, other than I was just, living a sinful life and living a life that wasn't biblical. And I don't, it's like weird. Like, I couldn't come on here and say like, oh, I justify it, because I could find a justification for anything, but I don't do that. I just fully admit, like, I just didn't go to church. I just didn't want to face that. And I just basically through the grace of God, just that I just didn't turn from that completely. And now I have kids, and it really hurts my heart, because my kids haven't been to church as much as they should. Mm-hmm. And we live in an area now that has a lot of, I wouldn't say conservative churches, I guess they would, compared to, but just like a typical church that you would go into. You're not going to get a lot of politics, sure. Even though everything's political, but like, it would be like if you went into a church in 1987 or something, where it's like, you're going to learn about the Bible, and we're not going to worry about like what you can and can't say.
It's okay. Last year for, I guess, like the 4th of July weekend or whatever weekend it was, some flag holiday, we said the Pledge of Allegiance. Well, they said the Pledge of Allegiance. I didn't say the Pledge of Allegiance, which was very off-putting, but also go to a Southern Baptist church, so.
Okay. I've never actually said the only time I've ever said the Pledge of Allegiance in a church or in a sanctuary is when I was in school as a kid, because I went to private school.
Yeah.
And I went to private Christian school, so. But my kids don't. They ask questions about God, and it kind of hurts my heart, because I feel like I'm not giving them that foundation. So now we're starting to talk about it. My kids are 4 and 6, and by the time I was 6 years old, I could tell you as much as a 6-year-old could comprehend about the Bible. So we're kind of now like, we've done online church and things like that because we can't go to church right now. And I grew up going to like a Calvary Chapel churches and Vineyard churches, which are, a Vineyard church is just, they're basically hippies, man. just standing, worship, a lot of worship, a lot of, church on the beach, like you can worship God anywhere. And that's where I really feel my heart is like, I think people can worship God however they see fit, but it's never, I've never felt closer to God because I was wearing my Sunday best or because I was in a house of God. I mean, I've regularly during the summer, maybe because we live in California and because of the church, we would have church at the beach on Sundays a lot of times. And so I think that if you're with like believers and you have that kind of foundation, I think that's really where you find your church. But I do believe when the Bible talks about having a group of people and having a base and having a church, like why you need that, fellowship with other believers. Sure. I believe that's important. I know there's a lot of people that say don't need church, and like, maybe you don't need church to go to heaven, but to edify your life and to fulfill yourself, which is really self-centered, I guess, but it's just a good thing to have, because you can really start to feel lost, especially if you're not in a community where anybody believes like you politically or religiously or anything.
Yeah. And anymore, right. I mean, I've always been kind of, I've been one of the anti-church guys for a while. But the older I get, the more I'm realizing it's really like anti-building, not necessarily anti-community, as collectivist as that sounds, unfortunately. But I do think there's a lot of importance there in fellowshipping with other believers who are in the same local area as you, as just a support structure, spiritually, emotionally, physically, if you need something. So we've been trying to go back. But now with all the COVID bullshit, it's been nigh on impossible to get back, or just too much. It's too onerous to go. So we watch online. Yeah. Sometimes.
I mean, if it was in a perfect world, it would be different. And I don't like the term like collectivism. Like, we've turned it into such a dirty word, as like, anarchists or libertarians. But of your own free will, fellowshipping with other people, even like atheists that believe the same as you, or, you know, like Freckles and I, you know, who my co-host on the Freckles and Britt Show Tuesdays on YouTube, she is Jewish. And we talk about things like this all the time. Obviously, we have different beliefs, but we have fellowship in a different way. I mean, there's it's voluntary collectivism, I guess you could call it that. But it's not like we're forcing anyone to be a part of our think group, I guess. Sure. You know, like I just feel like it's I feel like it's really important for people to, I hate this word, like, but have safe spaces. Like, I feel like it's important for people to not exclude others from a spot on a campus, but like, I think it's perfectly okay to be like, I believe this. And I just want to talk to people that believe the same as me. Yeah. And I don't want to have to argue with everyone all the time about everything.
Sure.
You know, totally and sometimes agree. I do want to argue with everyone all the time about everything. That's why I have a Twitter account.
Exactly. That's what Twitter's for. And I just sit back and drink and, you know, just watch the fireworks.
Yeah. I try, man. I've been ratioed hard this week. Like, everybody's on me about every single thing. And I don't even know why. I'm a nice lady.
I haven't seen those yet. It's been a busy week, so I've been kind of off the Twitter this week a little bit.
First of all, Freckles was hit hard because somebody had graffiti, like they had put up swastikas behind her house. Mm-hmm. And they spray painted them along with other things. They spray painted some really derogatory terms about Black people and, you know, appendages that, you know, it was like, and she had mentioned it and people had told her it was a hoax. She had every like anti-Semite on Twitter come at her. And of course I'm going to jump in and defend her. And I, you know, for the record, she sent me pictures of all of it. She wouldn't put them up because she doesn't want to get doxxed, but, I saw what was put up and I was like, yeah, I wouldn't want to move into a new community and see that. Sure. But of course I jumped in, and then every anti-Semite that is on Twitter, of course, jumped on me. And it just kind of snowballed from there, you know. Right. And then I, you know, made a take about the woman that had hysterectomies that just came out that they think ICE detainees had been forced into having hysterectomies. And all I said was, this is horrifying. If it's true, it's horrifying. If somebody's lying about this, it's horrifying. And, you know, people didn't like that because it could be construed as looking bad for the Trump administration, which I tried to clarify. This is not something, if it's happening, it was happening long before the Trump administration. And there's a long history in this country of,
right,
of sterilizing women that, that are either minority or just sterilizing women in general. It's something, sure, that we used to do for women that to cure hysteria. Right. But so, it's not like I'm putting it, it's not like I was putting it on Trump or anything. I'm just saying, like, if this happened, this is horrible that it's still happening. And you know, people don't like that. And I can't even think of all the things. I think because I said at one point this week that, you know, women in the liberty community sometimes have it a little bit hard. And a lot of guys don't like that. And I'm like, you know, sorry. And their response was, it must be nice to have boobs, which is like,
well, I mean,
that's, yeah, exactly, like, you literally just made my point for me. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for that. You and also, yes, it is.
So you are correct, yeah, sir.
Yeah, you would be correct. And two things can be true at once.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's been a crazy week. Like, good stuff. You know,
that's good.
And the state's still on fire.
That's right.
And there's still coronavirus.
Yes. Like, yes. So, yeah, so what's the mask situation like where you are? Are y'all still like, okay, full blown, like, like Tyvek suits and all that, or what are we doing there?
Yeah, so we have to sew it onto our face now. Mm-hmm. Before we leave the house.
Yes.
Yeah, it's bad. I'll say this. I am the person that everyone makes fun of. I wear my mask in the car because I don't want to take it on and off. Oh, okay. I put it on when I go to the first shop, and I leave it on because I don't want to touch my face 1,000 times. But I also have a son who has type 1 diabetes, so he has a comorbidity. I'm not going to put him at risk. I wash all our groceries. I'm crazy when it comes to all of that stuff. We don't let anyone in our house. I wear a mask all the time. We wear a mask no matter what. We carry buckets of hand sanitizer. With that being said, I put all that responsibility on myself and my family. Mm-hmm. It's not anyone else's responsibility to take care of us. So it really, really, really bothers me that California has such a that we're so locked down, that the mentality here is that if you don't wear a mask, you're hurting other people. First of all, I wear KN95 mask or N95 mask when I go out. You guy at the grocery store with your man bun wearing the cloth mask that says Biden Harris, you're not doing me any favors. That's like literally doing nothing for me. Sure. Like literally if I could smoke a cigarette and blow the smoke out around the mask, it's doing nothing.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, it's terrible. It's ridiculous that this is like still a thing and that people are so like, people will yell at you like on the street if you're not wearing a mask in some areas. Luckily where I am, people aren't crazy. So if you see someone walking down the street, then they're not going to say anything in my neighborhood. But I've been to the grocery store and I've seen people get upset about it. I see people not wear masks in grocery stores or take them off when they get in. And honestly, my reaction to that is like, I just kind of turn my back. Like if I'm worried about something or they get too close, I just turn my back. I'm not going to be like, you need to put your mask on. Like, that's not my business. That's their business. They're not hurting me. They're not affecting me. No matter what the CDC says or Kamala Harris or Joe Biden or Nancy Pelosi or Gavin Newsom or Eric Garcetti, they're not affecting anyone. And we can look at Sweden and see that that's not the case. We can look at Wuhan, China right now and see they're now moving back to normalcy. So really what we're doing, it just seems crazy. And the fact that there just was a report that came out that this was in Los Angeles in November and December of 2019. So what is different from November, December of 2019 to September of 2020, except for the fact that most people have already got it, that we're going to get it.
You're being way too sensible here.
I'm sorry. Mask up if it saves just one life.
Exactly. Save grandma.
Don't pull a Cuomo.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But Cuomo, what did he just, I saw earlier today, like, I don't know when he quoted it, but I saw it like maybe 2 hours ago. He said something like, it doesn't even matter. It was something about like, it was one of these like trust the science type tweets or like, you know, we have the data or something like that. It's like, yeah, we have the data that you fucking killed all the old people in New York City. Like,
it's Cuomo's data is exactly the same as Sweden's data. Like if everyone dies at the start, there's no one vulnerable to kill at the end. Exactly. So like bang up job you did there. Not only did you like kill all the old people, you expedited that plan perfectly.
Right.
Couldn't have killed the old people faster, Cuomo. Like,
attaboy.
Yeah. Bully to you.
So, yeah. I guess switching gears just a hair. What's it like, since we're kind of talking about the kids, what's it like being a minarchist mom trying to raise kids? Because I've got three, and I think they just all think I'm crazy.
Hard,
they do
right?
get some. They do get some tastes of the podcast and a few rants here and there from time to time. So that they just all think I'm insane. But what's it like, especially over there? You know, again, with not to keep beating on California, but it's fucking California. So, well, what's it like?
see my background and my messy floor. Sorry, I should have swept it, but I mean, I know this is not, the audience can't see it, but I have my whiteboard in the background with the calendar and everything because I homeschool.
Okay.
I had my kid in a Reggio Emilia preschool, both of my kids, where it's close to, I guess you could probably get to like a minarchist type parenting. I would say if a kid wants to cut down a tree, you give them an axe and supervise them, mm-hmm. as opposed to giving them a toy axe and, you know, telling them this is what it does. Like you,
or just telling them that's dangerous. Don't do that.
I am actually four square against that type of parenting. Like, so I'm actually like a gentle parent. I always have to explain to people mm-hmm. that it doesn't mean I'm a permissive parent. And it doesn't mean I don't get mad or lose my shit or whatever. But I'm a mom that like you would see at the playground that typically is like, if my kid's climbing to the very top of something, I'm more likely to tackle another mom that yells out, be careful, mm-hmm. than to yell out to my kid to be careful, because I think that's how kids get hurt. I think when kids are doing and learning, they're concentrating, and the easiest way as a parent to break their concentration is to yell, don't hurt yourself, be careful. Yeah. You know, so I don't really like that. I try and give them as much independence and onus of their body that I possibly can, but also sometimes I just want them to fucking listen. And
as a parent of older kids and one more than you have, it doesn't get any better. So
thank you for that.
Yeah.
I appreciate knowing it's just going to get harder.
Yeah. Buckle up.
You know what? I compare parenting to like playing like a video game, like those, like Super Mario Brothers or something when I was a kid, where it's like the levels get harder, but you get better at it as you go mm-hmm. along. Like it never gets easier, but if you're paying attention, you'll get better and be like, okay, I saw this somewhere else, it's not exactly the same, but I can apply that to this. And
fireball spitting flowers, I've got that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's not always easy, and sometimes, and I've had this fight with a school, and I have, like I said, my son has type 1 diabetes. So it's like, that's been a real kind of challenge, because how do you give a 3-year-old agency over his own body and also tell him you have to have, 12 to 17 shots every day?
Sure.
And the biggest struggle that we just had is that he's been wearing a pod, like a pump on his body that will give him insulin. Mm-hmm. For the past 2.5 years, but it's painful for him because he's so little and he doesn't have a whole lot of body fat.
Gotcha.
And he decided that he wanted to go back to shots. And I thought he wasn't going to remember, because he was diagnosed at 3. He might not remember what it's like to have shots every day. And I really discouraged it for a long time. And at the end of the day, I had to step back and say, this is his body and this is him making a choice for himself. About his health care and things like that. Obviously you don't let a 6-year-old, have complete agency over their own health, but if they're able to articulate exactly why they want to change something, I think that mm-hmm. that's something as a parent that you should look at and say, he's able to tell me exactly why he doesn't want to do this. And he is able to express exactly why he wants to do things another way. And we switched about 4 weeks ago to back to shots, and his blood sugar's been better. He's been easier to deal with, to manage his diabetes care. And part of me is like, oh man, I'm glad that paid off. But the other part of me is like, you've trained for this. This is what you do when you're raising adults that you want to think for themselves. And, that's just kind of how I try and parent as a libertarian. I'm trying to let you make decisions on your own if you're informed, no matter who's telling you what's best. Even if a doctor is telling you this is best for you, even if your mother's telling you this is what's best for you, if you have a coherent reason why you think that you can do things a better way, then I owe it to him as his mom and as someone that believes in the core values that I have to give him that shot. And obviously, if his blood sugar would have shot up and it would have been bad, I would have been like, no, you're fucked, dude. We're going back to what I said originally. But yeah, I mean, like that. And the same where it's like, I let my kids play outside in the backyard without me there, even though in my heart, I'm a helicopter mom. So I stand at the window and watch, but they don't know it. They think they're making their, you know, they think that they're on their own out there. So I'm giving them as many opportunities as I can to make decisions for themselves and kind of see the consequences or the rewards of those decisions. I mean, sure. I don't know. Is that what everyone does? I don't know.
I think so. Yeah. We're a little helicoptery too, but like hidden helicoptery. And I do tell them, be careful, but it's usually like with a slap on the ass, like, all right, we'll just be careful. Like, you know, here's the flamethrower. Yeah. Be careful. We'll see you later.
I mean, I tell them before. It's not like I go out there and like, all right. Go. But, you know, like, I think if you explain something as a parent, I think a lot of fear-based parenting and a lot of like hitting or things that go on a lot of times with kids. And my son is hard kid, man. I just don't even know what it's going to be like when he's 12, 13, 14, 15. I mean, and part of me every day is like, I need to break him. I need to break his will. But then like, I, you know, my rational self is like, that's not right. What you want to do. You don't want to, you know, but I think a lot of the parenting where parents hit or yell or that, which I kind of grew up in, is parents that don't have the tools are maybe kind of lazy sometimes. And sometimes I am too. Sometimes I'm frustrated. I mean, sometimes I'm just like, you need to go to your room because I can't talk to you right now. So you're going to have to go to your room until your dad gets home, and then he's going to have to take care of you. And then I'm going to smoke a bowl because I can't fucking parent right now. Like, yeah. You know, like, you know, every once in a while you just,
we do. And it's usually like, because it sounds bad, but it's like, because I've told you a million fucking times and you still haven't done the thing that needs to get done. So now I'm like getting really upset. Like, I was trying to parent you and now I'm just mad.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. I don't like, we're not like spankers. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's like all the time, like the joke at our house is my husband will be like, can I 80s parent them yet? Like, you know, can I hit them? Can I just,
where the belt at?
me and you probably sound to people that don't have kids like, oh my gosh, but like,
yeah, I know we probably do sound like assholes. I say just parent, wait.
Yeah. If you're a good parent and you love your kids and you're engaged in their life, at one point the thought has crossed your mind that you want to throw them into a wall.
Yeah.
Like maybe like, you know, well,
because we don't negotiate with terrorists. Yeah. And children are nothing but small terrorists.
They are. They're the fucking worst. Like, I always I
love my kids. They're the fucking worst.
Every birthday that these kids have is like Disneyland at the house. I'm an artist by, you know, like that's what I do. Okay. So, you know, everything's a production. My daughter's first birthday was Alice in Wonderland, and I built like life-size playing card men, soldiers.
Oh my gosh.
You know, her second birthday was Hello Kitty, so I made like life-size wooden cutouts of Hello Kitty and the whole thing. I mean, everything. And I have said every single year, every single holiday, the worst part about planning a birthday party for kids is the kids. Like, because they just make it so difficult. Yes. Like, I'm like, none of this is like, you know, the Pinterest picture that you think is it's gonna be. It's like them screaming at you and you know, pulling stuff down and not posing for the picture after you spent 25 hours making the thing, you know.
Yeah, walking by the very super cool thing that you spent an entire day making and them going, that's cool, and like just not fully appreciating it.
They're telling you they want to like put it like, can we go dig with this in the dirt? Like, I wish you wouldn't, but like, sure, go take those props and do. But then there's also, you know, something so great about looking back at those pictures like a year later and being like, oh, this was a good day, you know. Yeah. they were so happy. And you know, as a parent, you want them to grow up like, I feel like I'm raising adults I want them to be fully functioning, responsible adults that can manage themselves. But I also want them to look back at their childhood and be like, I really love the way that my mom like did things. I love the way that she raised us. I loved my childhood, and I don't want to go to my spouse's house for Christmas. I want to go to my mom's house. So it's really a selfish, you know, it's just me padding for the future, my selfishness.
Right. It's an investment.
Yes, it's an investment.
You'll have a place when you're old and gray. You're not gonna be in a home in Cuomo City.
No, gosh, I hope not. I don't know, they might. They might turn into little socialists. I don't know.
Oh no.
That's how they rebel.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Well, I think this might be a good place to leave it. Plug away. I'm sure you have some. Let her rip.
I am. Yeah. So you can find me on Twitter at Tweets by Brit. I'm always there. If I'm not there, then I'm going to be there shortly. I'm on Parler at Parlies by Brit, but I like never check it. Do better, Parler, and I'll come back. You can catch the Freckles and Brit show every Tuesday on YouTube, DLive, Spotify, Stitcher. We're also with the Freedom Scoop. Like, we have a collaboration with them. So there's a bunch of great creators on freedomscoop.com. And we're also with Steubens LTDP. She has a lot of great content creators too. So you can check her out. We're on there. And you can find our podcast on all the places you find podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify. I don't know. But yeah, Freckles and Brit Show and Tweets by Brit. That's it.
All right, folks. Well, y'all know what to do. Like, share, subscribe. Tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your dog. Tell your minarchist SoCal punk rock listening neighbor. Listen to the show. We'll see y'all next week. Peace. Cross a 57 Chevy with a hillbilly band. Had a little honky-tonk filled with one-night stands. Tell him fire with a gun so steel. In a dark house space just to seal the deal. Yeah, top 40 country, better watch your back, 'cause this hot rod's faster than your Cadillac.